Good morning. Okay. So Marilla prayed that we would hear the truth. So here's a funny thing. So when I was in elementary school, my report cards were always one of those things where if I could, you know, not show my parents, I'd prefer that. You know, it was one of those things, but you always had to get the parents' signature. So it's like, and one of the common things that was said in the report card under reading and comprehension was, it was one of the things most of the teachers said, was Scott reads well, but he has a hard time comprehending what he's reading. In other words, what they said was, he reads it, but he doesn't really understand. And this week has been similar to that for me. It's like, come back to haunt me. And it's like, just go away. So we're having our Thanksgiving dinner tonight because of the way life is in our family. So our family's getting together. And, you know, I like to dabble in baking. And so I came across a recipe for Grandma's favorite apple pie, it's called. And who wouldn't want to make that? Because if it just said apple pie, it'd be, right? You know, I've never made an apple pie. I've made pies. I've made berry pies. I've made cream pies. Pies are easy. No problem. So I did the dough last night, and then this morning I said, I'll have time this morning, get up, you know, and throw it in and get it done. Only, like, I read the recipe, but I didn't really pay attention. So the fact that you have to peel, core, and slice 12 apples, I was thinking to myself, Grandma didn't tell me that it was going to take this long to do that part. I'm running out of time. And it was like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting this thing. Like, here it comes again. I say all that to say this, as I go through the Sermon on the Mount, I really feel challenged that I've read it, didn't really read it. Darn. And if God was giving me a report card, it would be, Scott reads well. He's a hard time comprehending. And it's like, you know, because we're going to move on to the next part of his teaching. And I said in my prayers, God, do we ever like crest the hill and then we have a downward so it's just nice and easier? And it's like, no. Why would you think that? So this next part we go into, I'm using the whiteboard, and I hope you guys can see, it's the highest we could get it. There's a reason, in my head, I thought whiteboard was good. We're going to draw a stick figure. Can't get the legs right, but we'll call this little Ms. Runner, okay? And little Ms. Runner, when she was in elementary school, her favorite class was gym class. And what she found in gym class is that there was just things that she just naturally gravitated to. One of those things was running. And she was just good. She enjoyed it. It was fun. She went into high school, and there it's a little more serious now. A little bit, right? And now she's getting involved in track meets and different things like that. And here's the cool thing. She's winning. She's winning some stuff. And finally, as she comes up into, you know, grade 11, grade 12, in that range, one of her gym teachers says, hey, you know what? Are you thinking of going post-secondary? Yeah? Great. Yeah, I bet you get in with a scholarship. Like, you do really, really well. So as little Ms. Runner goes in for post-secondary education, she gets in there through on a scholarship, full scholarship to do with the whole track and field thing. And when she gets in there into the post-secondary, into the college university world, and she is now doing track meets, and she's starting to get noticed. Other places are noticing her. When she comes, they know they got some competition here. And it's one of her trainers that comes up to her and has this question for her. You do really well, really well. You have stuff in you that I see that I am just so impressed with. Have you ever had aspirations of going for the Olympics? And she goes, no, never. I don't know if I could ever do that. And he says, I think you have what it takes to do it. I really do. I think you should think seriously about doing that. They're coming up in 4 years, and that'd be something for you to try and aim for. And Ms. Renner thinks about it. And she talks to her family, her friends, thinks more, and finally decides, I'm going to do this thing. Going to do the Olympics. So she has this aspiration now. And of course, when you sign on, of course, that you're going to do the Olympics, guess what? One thing you need. Need a trainer, need a coach. And they suggest different ones for her. And finally, she lands on a coach trainer that she's going to have who's going to help her. And the coach comes along and goes like this. They meet. And the first question he asks her is, so when you get up in the morning, how long does it take you to get ready to be out the door? And she goes, well, it takes about, 45 minutes. Good. Because he said, you're going to have to get up at 4:15 every morning. Because you're going to either be on the track or in the gym for training every morning. And he said, when I train you, you understand, this is a 4-year journey, 4 years down the road, right? When I train you, I'm training you for one thing and one thing only that we are going for. You're not going for the Olympics. You think you are, you're not. You're going for this one thing, gold. We train for gold, right? Have you ever seen anybody standing on the podiums, be it silver or bronze? Have you ever noticed their faces?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? They weren't training for bronze. They were training for gold. And so the coach says, we're going to be training for gold. And he said, here's another thing. Your life is going to change. This here is your goal now in life. This is it. This is your center point right here. This is it. Everything else in your life now submits to this. Everything will now defer so that you can acquire this right here. So what's going to be affected? First of all, your sleep. Because you're going to get proper night's sleep. No more doing all-nighters, no more staying up. What else is going to be affected? What you eat. You're going to eat what I tell you to eat? What else? Social life. You don't have one. Seriously, right? You talk to parents who have kids in sports, and if they go up to a certain level, and all of a sudden they're traveling, there is like huge commitment. This is going to affect your relationships. You have a boyfriend, Ms. Runner? Tell him you'll see him in 4 years. Right? This is what's becoming, and everything in your life now goes for this. Everything. I want you to keep that in mind. And I want you to hear or listen to what Jesus has to say as he starts the next section of the teaching. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, slowly going through this. And I want you to hear what Jesus says. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Ms. Runner, this is her treasure she's going for. Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. Let's draw another stick person. This is you or me, any of us. We live life. But because we're human beings, we go by what we can see, touch, feel, that sort of things. For the most part, we figure life is done when our heart stops beating, right? Heart stops, life's done. You listen to our language, how people talk, that's what we believe. That's what people see. My life is over. So-and-so, is there in the casket. Poor so-and-so. That's the general conversation of the world. Jesus came along and said, hey, I got news for you. How you see life, that's not how life is. And Jesus tells, actually, there is a I come from God, from the Father. He sent me. He gave you life, and his life keeps going on. Right? And I'm here to tell you that there is more to life than what you see here on earth. There's way more than that. And I'm going to show you how to live that life. And it's awesome. And the goal at the end, will be life forever with me. Real life. You'll have real life forever with me. How's that? Right? Real life with Jesus. Right? That's what Jesus comes and says. It's all about. That's what we're going after. This thing right here. And this is how we are to live our life. And what Jesus is saying here, what Jesus is getting out, don't store up your treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures here. Here is words, guys. Okay? One of the challenges Jesus has spoke to me in my quiet time a couple years back was, how about you try and take my words seriously? What if you did, Scott? What if you did? This is what Jesus is saying to store where we are to make our treasure, right there. And here's the thing with life. Jesus tells us we get to choose what our treasure is going to be. We can choose. We can make it this, or it can be something in here. And you can think of all the different things people make as treasures in their life, right? What you have to remember is that whatever is your treasure, that is going to dominate your thinking in life. It will dominate it. It will take precedence in what you think, in your mindset, in your headspace up here. And all other areas of your life will be required to serve whatever your treasure is. Now, if you're familiar with the Gospels, there's an incident that takes place where a rich young man comes up to Jesus. He's a righteous person who knows the law, a good Jewish person who he's really up to speed on things. And he says, oh, teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus quotes off about 5 or 6 of the Ten Commandments. And he goes, oh, I have done all that. And Jesus says, good. Oh, one thing. Gather all your possessions, put them on Kijiji, sell them, and all that money you get, give it away to the poor, then come follow me. And what does the rich young guy do? Walks away sad. Why? Jesus touched his treasure button, right? His treasure, Jesus knew it, touched it, identified it. The guy went away sad. Couldn't do it. Listen to what Jesus says. I'm going to just skip down about 3 verses in Matthew 6 here. Jesus, in context with this, Jesus says, no one can serve 2 masters. Listen to what he's saying. Don't just hear. Let it sink. For you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Jesus says, be very, very careful what your treasure is, who you make as your master. Now, he continues, and we'll continue this probably next week, as far as this thing goes, the dollar sign, the money thing goes, because whatever masters you, Jesus says, it owns you. It has you. Now, this call that Jesus calls us to is to follow him in all areas of life. When we say, I surrender all, we sing the songs, right? It's easy to sing the songs. It's not really easy. I want you to think of Jesus as this coach for the Olympics, right? This trainer for the Olympics. He's really serious about what his expectations of us. Really is. He really wants the best for us. And he sees it in us. He sees it in us because we're a chip off the old block. We're created in God's image. And we have it. And Jesus wants us to live it and to experience and to walk in it. So what he wants from me, what he wants from you, what he wants from all of us, all of humanity, That life is way more than we think. It's not just this little bit, not just that. It's this. For little Ms. Runner, she's hungry for this. Now, if you doubt that Jesus has this intensity to follow him, this posture that he calls us to lean in and take his word seriously, it's laced all throughout the New Testament. All the New Testament writers speak the same language. It is understood that if you're in, you're in. It's a bit like, so I'm not going to leave you with any answers today. I am going to leave you with something to think about. For instance, I can watch documentaries on Netflix about Olympians. And that's great. I love documentaries because you get to see inside somebody's life. And I love how they do that. And you can learn all about what it's like to train and all the deprivation and all the tough stuff. But there's no comparison for actually doing it. It makes me nervous as I read his sermon because it's like he's laying out the groundwork for expectation if you want to come and follow. And you know those words that he says, you know, count the cost? It's like, you want to go, do you really mean that? Is it as tough as I think? It's not tough, but is the expectation you have on us, on me, is that really your expectation, Jesus? Is that really? I want to share with you just a few passages from the New Testament, from some of the New Testament writers, what they have to say about some of this. The first one I want to go to is written by Paul. And I think Paul was a little bit into sports. He had a little bit of understanding of it. But in his first letter, what we call the First Corinthians, his first letter to the church in Corinth, he's had this to say to them. I'm just going to slow us down so that we understand each little sentence in this short passage. It's just four different verses. Paul says to them, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? Now, what I don't want you to hear is that we're all running and only one's going to win, right? Nobody else is in, right? Paul's not saying that. What Paul is alluding to here is the expectation or the leaning in we should all have as we live our life in the faith. That's what Paul's talking about here, that there's this attitude that we are to have, that Paul's calling us to have. That in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. There's this intensity. There's this very intentional, purposeful running, purposeful living. And then, so Paul goes on, this isn't all. So run to win. What does that mean? That means Paul is saying, live it to your fullest. Give it your all. Give it your best. Give it everything. And he continues. All athletes are disciplined in their training, and they do it to win a prize, read treasure, that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize, treasure. So I run with purpose in every step I am taking, in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. You know what shadow boxing is, eh? That's easy. We can all do it. You know, you just punch in the air. That's easy. Anybody here been in a boxing ring and boxed? You have. Hard? Darn right it's hard. You know the scary thing? So it was in police college that they had a boxing ring set up and we had to go in. First time I'd never been in, right? You know what the instructor said? He was a sergeant. He said this. He says, here's the fun part about boxing. He said, you're going to find the gloves get heavy. And he says, the thing is, if you can only keep your hands up for 2 minutes, but I can keep mine up for 2 minutes and 10 seconds, I win. Right? It was like, really? Yeah, and he was right. He was absolutely right. No. No. Anyway, we run with purpose. Hear Paul's intensity that he's bringing to us, the expectation from us to run with purpose in every step, to live our life the Jesus way with every step on purpose. Listen to that. And then he finishes with, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might get disqualified. Discipline, we have to get it. We have to understand discipline is a wonderful gift. It's hard. Even the writer in Hebrews acknowledges that nobody likes discipline because it's painful when you go through it, but it prepares us. It's important. What is the hardest thing that Ms. Runner is going to experience in her training? Anybody guesses? Hardest thing. I know what it is because I experience in my running. It's the mental game you got to play. That you got to battle with the mental game in your head that says, I can't do this. This is too hard. And you got to push yourself. When you reach what you think is the end, you've given your all, you got to try and find something deep down that you can push through. And that's hard because the voices are screaming, quit. You can rest. You could sit down and relax and enjoy. Why are you doing this to yourself? This is stupid. Right? It's the mental game. And what do you think is the challenge in following Jesus? The mental game. The enemy isn't going to box with you. The enemy will play a mind game with you. Absolutely. I can't do this. I can't forgive myself for this. I won't, you know? And the enemy will just pick at your little mind to break you down. And in here, in the training, and in our training in life, it's the mental game that we have to work at. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians. He also, one of his other churches he planted was in Philippi, and he talks to the Philippians about something very similar. He says to them, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. What is Paul saying there? He is saying that Christ picked him out, pointed him out and said, you're created in my image. You can do this. But Jesus says, this is for you. And so Paul says, he's not about perfection here. It's about when I fall down, I keep on pressing on and keep going forward. When it gets toughest, I keep moving forward. Paul's very intentional here. And the intent is for us as well. Don't give up. You know, that's why we need each other. You know, when I run by myself, it can be hard. But when I run with somebody else, so much better. They can help me. They can encourage me. I can encourage them, right? So much better. That's why people like teams. Because you get to encourage one another. It so helps. It so makes the game fun, right? Doing it by yourself is like, oh, this is hard. It's easy to talk yourself out of it too. But that's what Paul says. He says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And he goes on to say, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Again, your treasure. He's talking about treasure. This one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize, treasure, for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Very intentional in his living and how he wants to live and what he's calling, what Paul says Jesus is calling us to live like. This is what we're called to. And we focus on that one thing. Champions, people who get the gold and get the silver and get the bronze too. Like, hey, if you make it to the Olympics, that's amazing. Right? You've gone that far. You're a machine, right? You're good. But if you listen because even champions will lose a race, lose a game, Things will fall apart at times. They get interviewed. How did that make you feel? Well, of course, they felt terrible. It's a silly question. How do you think that made me feel to lose? I didn't like it. So what are you going to do now? And usually what you'll hear from them is, it is what it is. It's done. I'm going to start preparing for the next race. Start preparing for the next game. Got to get my eyes focused on this. This is gone. It's done. That's what champions do. They fix their eyes on what they're going for. Always. Even when they fall down, they get back up and they press on. They keep on going. Are you getting a sense of what this whole faith run is all about? Right? Now, here's one. Now, we don't know who the writer is. This is the writer of Hebrews. And we've seen this back in the summer. We referred to this a few times. This passage is in Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. There is a thing about that if you're going to run, get rid of any of the excess baggage and, you know, or whatever it is that you're, get rid of that stuff, run with intensity, run with purpose, right? That's what the writer here is saying. And then the writer says this, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And stop there. Every person here, God has set a race before you. We all have our own race to run, whatever that looks like. We all have our own race, and it's before us. And I want you to key in on that word endurance. You understand what endurance is, eh? Endurance is being able to keep going even when it feels like it's impossible to go. When it gets hardest, that I don't know if I can do this any longer. And endurance says, I'll keep doing. That's why in training, they'll push. And it sounds like you're being really mean to me. They're not being mean. It's training for endurance is what they're doing. They want to train. They want to put that within the athlete, right? And Paul is saying, well, we don't know if it's Paul. The writer is saying, we want to build that whole thing, you know, that thing of endurance within us, right? And he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That Jesus is the one who shows us the way, shows us how to live, shows us the treasure, the true treasure we have at the end of it all. It's Jesus who shows us this. And it's amazing. Now, how does Jesus show us? And the writer continues. This is Jesus. Because of the joy awaiting him. Right? What's the joy? Let's stop right there. What's the joy for Jesus? It's this. It's this, right? It's with the Father. It's what the Trinity had set out to do all along, to rescue humanity, to rescue people, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his Son into the world. Right? That's the joy. He had his focus on this. And it says he endured. He could endure the cross and the shame that comes with that. He could endure all that. Why? Because he was looking at this. Transfer that up to here to Ms. Runner. She's going to go through some stuff in her training that's going to feel like at the end of the day, she feels like, you know, she's just gone through the meat grinder. And she can't do it anymore. She's just like, the coach just ran her ragged. Or she has some injuries or whatever. And she pushes through and pushes through and pushes through. How does she do that? Her eyes are on here. She wants the gold. That's how she does it. I don't know if you read in the CBC News, but the CBC News talked about a runner in Australia who ran across Australia. Anybody read that? Did you read? Yeah. Ran across, I think it's something like 2,700 miles in 47 days or something like that. Something crazy. What he went through, it was like, are you kidding me? Like, why did he do it? Because he had his focus on getting to the doing it, finishing it. That's what it is. So when this is written here, when the writer writes this, that Because of the joy awaiting Jesus, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he has the prize, right? Now it's done for him. And we're being encouraged to do the same thing. Same exact thing. Same thing. So that this whole passage in Matthew 19 right down to the end of 33, this whole thing is all about Jesus telling us about the call that is placed on our lives to follow and to do it with intensity and to be aware of the things that are going to distract us, that are going to pull us away to stop, to quit the race, to stop it. And Jesus is calling us. This is how you do it. The writers throughout the New Testament are reminding us of that, not to, you know, bail and give into the mind games that are played. We are called to pursue, to fix our eyes on what our treasure is. And we get to decide what that treasure is going to be in our life. So here's the thing. When people gather, we call it church, on a Sunday, we gather for one reason. That's to worship Jesus. That's why we gather. Our ministries, the various things we do, our Bible studies, our home groups, the different activities, think of those as practice. Those are your training ground, part of your training. The out there, when you go out there today through the week, that's the game you're in, because that's where you're going to really have to walk through stuff. And here's the other fun part. Those hardships we go through, those tough things, those are a key element of training. I can say that. Do I want to go through it? Any stuff? No. Is our family going through some tough stuff right now? Yes. Do I like it? No. Do I want God to take it away? Yes. And sometimes God doesn't. And the question then is, how do I bear up under this? How do I walk this through? How do I live my life in such a way that I will grow through this? Because there is growth through this. It's when we go through the difficult times that it strengthens our faith, it matures us. It's a key element. If everything that was difficult in life was taken away from us, we would be fairly wimpy. We're tough because we've gone through stuff and we've survived. And we keep on going, we keep on going, we keep on trusting, we keep on pursuing Jesus. It's what it's all about. Listen, so we're going to talk about, in the next couple of weeks, the temptations, the things that are going to distract us. But in particular, what Jesus points out, this thing, the money thing. The money is a huge one because it has the power. The money has the power to master us. It does have the power to do that. I want to leave you with words from Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. And understand, 2 Corinthians was written after Paul had gone through one of the most worst experiences of his life, probably. It was brutal for him. He starts off his letter was, it was so hard what we went through, we thought we were actually going to die. It was that hard for him. That's how he starts his letter. And it's at the end of that letter that he can say, he's realized, when I am weak, then I am strong. It's because in my weakness, God's strength comes through and helps me. And Paul learned to endure through this and to hold on and not to let go. And hear his words here in this letter to the Corinthian church. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Now, hear his words. For our present troubles, fill in the blank, whatever that is for you, are small and won't last very long. Yet, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. What's that? That's the treasure That's the treasure Jesus is calling us to have our eyes on. So we don't look at the troubles. That's the distractions. We'll get caught looking at our current present struggles, and there's that temptation to give up, to give up. It's as that runner who ran across Australia, his phrase that he had to tell himself all the time, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's right. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. This, for Ms. Runner, she couldn't see the goal yet. She hadn't experienced it yet, but she believed it because people were speaking into her life and saying, you can do this. You got this. Keep pushing. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. And Jesus is saying, he's been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. He's saying, go for the gold, guys. Go for the gold. It's worth it. Go for the gold. Go for the gold. I just sense Jesus saying to all of us right now that I hear these words, it's worth it. It's worth it. Please don't give up. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, please don't give up. Please don't throw in the towel. Don't do it. I'm with you. You have this. You will experience it. So, Father, we just give it all to you. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord.